السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, rainy morning in Johannesburg. My beloved, wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. My beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. Yeah, well, it's the rain is still coming down, it's pouring, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's not normally that heavy rain. Yes, Haji Suleiman Esop, my beloved engineer this morning, he will be with me from now till 12-ish. But I don't know, for some reason, he's looking, mashallah, as the days are going by. He's looking, subhanallah. Yeah, that's our beloved Haji Suleiman Esop. Allah Ta'ala grant him a good spouse, inshallah. I'm making so much of dua for you, Haji Suleiman. I'm making dua, inshallah. If you know of any good girls out there, you know, please let us know. Let our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah, know that Haji Suleiman Esop is looking for a good, mashallah, a good dina girl. Well, he's still young. He's only 35. Okay, he says, Molana, 35. But of course, he looks 27, 28. Yeah, he says, Molana, jazakumullahu khair. You know what I mean? Well, we all know Haji Suleiman Esop. They say, what is that? What you say? He says, old in age and young in heart. Young in heart. That's Haji Suleiman Esop. You know, I received a call from Mauritius this morning. Around 7:30, 7:45 to 8:00. 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. One of our beloved mothers in Islam actually contacted me and saying that they diehard fans of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But that's how it is. We're waiting for the listeners, mashallah, to send us messages on 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784-786-3132. It is the 13th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1444, which is also the 8th of November, 2022. Arafat Hajia bin Ibrahim is the name, and of course our beloved, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who has just joined us now, our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakallahu khairan.
Somebody says, Ustaz, that what rights does my wife have in regards to her parents after the marriage, Ustaz?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, informs us in Surah chapter 21, verse number 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, Ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as a mercy to the entire universe and creation. Second one, to answer your question, remember this hadith which I will mention now is mentioned in and recorded in Mustadrak Hakim. Inna adama an-nasi haqqan ala rajul. Verily the person who has the greatest rights over the men, even after his marriage, is ummuhu, his mother. Wa inna adama an-nasi haqqan ala al-mar'a zawjuha. That when a lady, the person who has the greatest rights over her after marriage, is a husband. So first will be Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Thereafter, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then her husband, and then her biological parents. So that will be the sequence we should understand. But obviously, it doesn't mean that the husband must become a ten-foot dictator. Almighty Allah commands every husband, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Verse 19, 1-9. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat your wives with love, respect, justice. So all that must be taken into consideration. If she wants to go to her parents' place once in a while, so you must take her or make the arrangements. So in that way, there is a give and take relationship.
Somebody says, Ustad, permissibility of women going to mazars for ziyarat, but what the mahram, Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala sent Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a mercy to the entire universe, as I mentioned. And there are three ahadith. All of them are mentioned in Sunan Nasai. And from there you can understand what Islam teaches us. Number one, La'ana Allahu Zairatil Qubur. Allah Jalla Wala curses the ladies who visit the graveyard. Second one, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ Allah Ta'ala curses the ladies who visit the graves excessively. Third one, one day, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, the beloved Ladli, the Sahib Zadi, beloved daughter of the Master, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was walking, and Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking in the opposite direction. Who is Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha? Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisai Ahlil Jannah, the leader of the women in Jannah and Paradise. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned her, where, what you doing here outside? She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I went to offer my condolences that somebody passed away there. Then he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked, did you go to the graveyard also? Then she said, la, 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 no, no, no. He, Habibuna, rahmatul lil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is addressing his beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima, radiallahu anha. Had you gone to the graveyard cemetery, you should not see Jannah. So, and you should not see paradise. Open Sunan Nasai, you will find it there. So whether you're going alone, whether you're going with your husband, you're going with your mahram, you're going with your father, brother, son, all that is haram. Ladies got no business to be in the graveyard. You must stay at home, and from there you read for your deceased. All that what is happening today, intermingling, and the women going to mazars and graveyard, all that not permissible.
Respected Mufti Saab, a girl is 20 years old and her husband passed away about 6 months back. She has a 4-month-old baby, Ustad, and she has received a proposal from a good boy who is willing to look after the baby as well. Is it permissible for the in-laws to try and prevent the marriage because they don't want someone to look after their son's baby? And if she gets married, can the in-laws try to get custody, Ustad?
In a case like that, so there was a boy and a girl, and then she got married, and then after 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, Allah alone knows what happened. So the husband passed away, accident or heart attack, Allah knows best. So we make dua for him. The dua we should always read and learn this verse is a wonderful, beautiful dua. In chapter 59, Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse number 10, and it is in the 28th Supara, 28 Jews. It's a powerful, comprehensive dua for the deceased and for those living as well. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا Ya Allah, do not place in our hearts the malice and the hatred. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا For those people who have Iman. So that you can't make dua for non-Muslims. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ That Ya Allah, you are the one who is most compassionate and very, very merciful. So now, let us make this a case study. So he passed away, she finished her iddat, and now remember that this lady here, she got a proposal, and she says it's a good proposal, and it must be a Sunni, can't be a Shia, or Qadiani, Agahani, so obviously you can't marry them, they kuffar and out of the fold of Islam. So if you, the lady, are happy, your parents, your father and them are happy, and the boy, and he is happy, then you go ahead and get married. The in-laws got no say over the matter. They don't have any say over the daughter-in-law. They don't have any say over the grandchild and so forth. They're just poking their nose in those people's business, and they got no authority to do so. So remember that the custody will stay with the mother, and if she marries somebody total stranger, so then it will go to her mother or somebody or her sister, but won't go to the boy's family. He's still a baby. So remember that you, the dada and dadi, that is the boy's parents, you must stay out. You got no say in this matter. Yeah. So you can't be poking your nose in their life. Yes, that she must also have common sense, that she must keep contact with you, and you're allowed to visit the baby, or the baby come by you, or you something arrangements you make, so that you can do. But custody all will be with her family and nothing to do with you, and you can't prevent her from remarrying. She's not doing something haram, it's totally permissible.
Somebody says, knowing about a cousin who is on drugs and might be committing zina, what do we do, Ustad?
So you must, once you have concrete evidence, not just assumptions and not just suspicions, then you must speak to them and you must tell them that all these are major, major sins. They continue doing this, then they might exit Islam also, Allah forbid, because people today try and justify their haram actions as well. So remember, if they don't listen, then you, the entire family, must excommunicate them and social boycott them. No salam, no kalam. Go read the story of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anh. It's mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, lengthy hadith. For 50 days, there was social boycott. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not speak to him and did not reply to his salam. He says that was the most difficult. When I should make salam, Nabi alayhi salam would not respond to him. The Sahaba would not respond to them. And then the wahi came down, revelation came down. And that was the happiest day of his life. So why? What was the sin, crime he committed? That during the battle of Tabuk, in the month of Rajab, in the 90th of Hijrah, it was first compulsory for every able, capable male that they had to participate. And he said, so far, join them, By that time, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Sahaba were gone. When they returned, remember that, then the hypocrites would come and give some fairy tale excuse and take qasam. He went and said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to speak the truth. It was my own feeble excuses, my laziness. I didn't participate. So Allah Ta'ala revealed verses. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, fear Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the truthful ones. Imagine, he was truthful. So that is how Allah elevated them. So remember, from there we deduce there is something like social boycott and excommunicating people. So that is what you must do with this person. If he does not stop in his tracks, and tawbah obviously is compulsory for the zina, fornication, 100 lashes must be given to them in public. Surah 24 verse 2, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلْدًا. So 100 lashes must be given to them in public for the drugs and all that. So it falls under the purview of alcohol, 80 lashes for that. So it shows what a serious crime it is. Allah Jalla wa'ala protect us, protect our progenies, and protect the ummah at large. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
And look at the things, Ustaz, that why are some of our husbands very sweet to women outside, and their exes But when it comes to us as wives, they scream at us, Mufti Sahab. It's even a problem if we ask for one small thing. And one of us will start.
So it is Shaitan. Shaitan's job is the Lucifer. You know Lucifer? Iblis. So زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The Shaitan will embellish, will adorn, will beautify the haram things. That haram food seems very, very tasty. Haram fruit will seem very, very tasty. Haram woman or haram man will seem very, very impressive. So therefore the Quran Sharif warns people, male and female, قُلْ سَيَّا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ مُصْطَفَى حَبِيبَنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Remember, the impure and the pure can never be equal. وَلَوْ أَعَجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Although the abundance of the impurity, so they impress you. You see how smart they look, how they talk, how they, you know, wink eye with you. They will do funny, funny things and all that. So Almighty Allah states, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Almighty Allah. يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O people of intelligence and intellect, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you are successful. Go and open the Noble Quran, chapter 6, verse 100, and you will find it there. So Almighty Allah is warning us that is true. Many a time the husband with his wife, he will shout and scream and so forth. Not all, but many. And when it comes to the ex-wife or some girlfriend or old flame from school, you know, today Allah alone knows what they teach in the schools and so forth. So over 100,000 children, you must remember, daughters in school, girls in school pregnant. So I don't know the schools are schools or the brothels or what, you know. But nevertheless, so that is what's really happening. So that you find that this now impresses them. And the wife, they just take for granted and so forth. They forget all the sacrifices. You know, this you call selective amnesia. They conveniently, they forget all the sacrifices the wife made. She left her parents' place. She left her siblings. She left the place of her birth. And she said she will stay the remainder of her life with you through thick and thin. And now you still go and treat her like this. So obviously unacceptable and a major, major sin it is.
So, Ustaz, if you get married with a Muslim lady and you advise her to dress Islamically, and she replied to you, why I didn't marry those who dress Islamically, to divorce her, is it permissible, Ustaz?
So where's your brains? You must remember that before you married her, couldn't you do some, you must remember, homework and so forth, that she is not used to dressing with haya, modestly and shame, and now you think that suddenly after marriage she will do that. So therefore she gave you that answer and so forth. So you are to blame. She is to blame, but you also to blame. So when the selection of spouses go, Habibuna Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you marry her limaliha, for wealth, wali jamaliha, for beauty, and wali hasabiha, for rank and status, remember, there in society, and then wali diniha, because of her piety, her good character, and so forth. So you will be successful when you get, make the deen the priority and criteria number one. So why did you marry her? You married her because of her mal, her wealth, or because of her jamal and beauty. Your deen and piety was totally out of the equation. So how she is to blame, you also are to blame. So now you married. Now no sense speaking of divorce and all these things. Yeah. Hamara kaam jorna hai. Nakit torna. You don't make the home, not break the home. So every day start ta'aleem in your house. Take Riyadus Salihin, translated in Urdu, English, various languages. By Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah, he passed away at the age of 45 and left such a legacy. 45 of us people cannot do what he did alone. So that is how Allah accepted them. And remember that take the work of Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sheikhul Hadith, Manawar Allah Marqadahu, all these Faza'il books, 5-10 minutes, read it slowly, slowly. Obviously, the house environment will change, inshallah. But the point of the wife, remember, is valid to a certain extent, that you want now do this, you should have married somebody who comes from that background. She does not come from that background, so you will have to do this gradually, remember.
So, Ustad, I am in the process of looking for a wife. And inshallah, I will be going to meet different girls at the houses. Can Muftisa please advise what is the best way we are going to see potential spouses and some of the important questions to ask, Ustad?
First and foremost, the houses or the ladies you are going to see, make sure that you are not chatting with them and the WhatsApp lines and all that are not open with you and her and so forth. You must inform her girl's father. If there's no father, then the grandfather, dada, and so forth. Or the brother or uncle or somebody. And you can't be alone with that lady. لا يخلون رجل بمرأة إلا وثالثهما الشيطان. If a strange man and strange lady are alone and they are in one room of privacy, so the third party there, wasalithuma shaitan, is the Satan, Lucifer and Shaitan. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. Then what questions you must ask, you must remember that you can find out what is her age, and remember that where will you stay? Will you stay with your parents? Will you stay alone and, you know, separately? What is your income? So they also got the right to ask you questions, and what are you do? Where do you perform salat, and which ulama do you know, and so forth, so on. So both parties can ask some basic questions, provided that the mahram, the lady's mahram is there, her father, brother, uncle, like that. And thereafter, remember, if you are interested, and they say yes, then get married immediately. No delay, delay, delay. All this at tasweefu min ash-shaytan. That now you met her this weekend, or this coming weekend, now you're going to marry next year. So after Ramadan, and so forth. So that all is not permissible. Why? Because you're delaying, delaying, will lead to your speaking and SMSing, WhatsApping, and joking, flirting. Sometime you'll be going alone with her and smooching her, kissing her. Since when all that is permissible? Quran Sharif is very clear on that issue both ways. وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانَ. That for you, the boys, there's no place for girlfriend and mistress and so forth. And you, for you, the ladies, there is no place for toy boy, joy boy, and sugar daddy. So you must be clear on all these issues.
Somebody says, Ustad, that, look, Mufti Saab, my wife is a rivet, and she eats at her parents' place. She pushes the meat products aside. I tell her the food is haram, as it's cooked in the same pot. She says, I must choose between her, because she will never disrespect her parents' broken hearts. Ustad.
Remember that, yeah, they are separate issues, and that is why the confusion is taking place. Number one is this, that you must remember, you married a lady who embraced Islam, and her parents are alive, albeit that they are non-Muslim. So the Quran Kareem states, Surah 31, verse 15, 1-5, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. When you, the son, daughter, whoever embraced Islam, your parents, both of them or one of them are alive, but they're non-Muslim, so you must mingle with them, associate with them, respect them, so all that Islam teaches us. So all that must be done. Second one, regarding the eating, drinking. Obviously, if they are cooking in that same pot where they cook and they make their swine or whatever else, so they are mutton or beef or whatever, but they dedicated it to the idols and what have you. So obviously that even if you make some halal dish but is in the same utensils, so it's not permissible. There is contamination, adulteration and so forth. So what you must do, simple, is this, that you go to your parents' place and you take your own food with you, or you take your own utensils with you, and you cook in that, and mashallah, then you all eat together like that. So that is what you should do. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you fear Almighty Allah, جَلَّ وَلَا, Allah will make a way out for you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And remember, Allah will give you rest, risk and sustenance happens from such avenues where you never ever expected. See, I give you my example. Sometime I go to my family Saturday. Now I know they don't want to cook Saturday because they just have fish and chips or they have dust and so forth. So I told them, you just carry on and don't worry that we will bring our own food and we all will eat. There's nothing to be shy of it or something there. So a girl ka mamla hai, it's all within the family, so you must remember that. I want a certain dish, I don't want to inconvenience them. Let's say I want akni, I don't want that they must now start cooking for me or so forth. So mashallah, my wife will make extra Friday and then Saturday I'm going somewhere. So I just take it worth. So what is the problem? There's no problem there. So that is what you must try and do and practice on.
I see a message coming here. Says there's a lady, she lives in Durban. She is a Pakistani officer but don't speak English at all. She's 37 years of age. Was thinking for Brother Suleiman if he's interested, but she don't speak English at all. She's very pretty, Mufti AK Ustad.
Yeah, but we don't know the background and the history and geography and all that. Just now that the girl's father comes here, who gave you permission to get married? And you must remember that maybe she was married before. So many issues there can be. We don't know. You can't go marry a girl who you don't know her history, geography and all that. So I don't have to ever consult with him. Suleiman can't even speak Urdu with her. Just now you must remember he will speak Meman with her, or he will speak some other language, English, then there will be miscommunication. So not a good option, unless we know the history, geography, and so forth and so on. So bad option for him. So disqualified for our Haji Suleiman Esop Damat Barakatu.
How past 11? Somebody said, Ustaz, that after 40 years of a blissful marriage, my husband wants to marry now, Mufti Sahab, a 30-year-old girl who is younger than our daughter. Can I allow this, Ustaz? Please advise me.
So remember that if you are married for 40 years.
Ji, Ustaz.
40 years, so it means that your husband is well in his 60s, so he must learn to prepare for the year after, not go and get married to a 20, 25, 30-year-old tart and so forth, and then you can't do justice. Quran Sharif says, you can take second wife, third wife, fourth wife, but they're conditional. فَإِنَ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you fear you can't do justice, فَوَاحِدَ. Then just stay with your first wife. So my advice to you, Haji, that you are my age and so forth, just forget all that. Very bad idea. You know deep down that you weren't able to do justice, and she will say, yes, yes, very good idea, because she sees you driving a smart car, and whoa, pay hache, that remember you got too much money and so forth, so she just waiting for you to die, and so that she can inherit, and whilst you are alive, she will then milk you. So remember that, you know, she make you a milking cow. So you must remember that. Bad idea, disqualified, you can't get married to her.
So is it permissible to have an akika function? And also, is it permissible to give out sindi when the baby is born, Ustad?
So it's a happy occasion, so you give out something there. So that's fine, there's no problem with that. And today is Tuesday, and the baby was born today. So next week, Monday, is the seventh day. If it's a boy, then two goats or two sheep. If it's a girl, then one goat or one sheep. So that is the akika. There's no need for function, invite this one, invite this one, invite this one. You, the family, just eat from there one third. Give one third to the poor people, remember that. And one third you give to the in-laws, outlaws, whoever you want to, other family members. One issue you should know regarding akika, and it's just like qurbani. Hanafi say you can give the qurbani meat, the akika meat, to non-Muslims also, whilst the Shafis and them say no, that it must be given to Muslims only. So that is one point you should take cognizance of. Hanafi say qurbani meat, akika meat, permissible, you give it to Muslim and non-Muslim. That's Hanafi verdict. Shafis and them say no, the recipient must be a Muslim, whether rich or whether poor, doesn't matter, but remember Muslim only. So that difference of opinion we should know at least.
Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, that how do we know who has a very good heart, a genuine heart? My husband prays five times a day, and cries in the Musallam Mutisab. But then he beats me up. What is all he's crying for, Ustad, anonymous sister?
He's not a good person, he's shaitan. This is what Nabi alayhi salam said, Laysa bikhiyarikum, they're not good people. So what good is there that he's crying on his musalla, but you make a small mistake, then he assaults you, bitch. You must go to the police station. Leave me, leave the maulanas, leave the muftis, leave the jamiats. What can we do? We can't do anything. We don't have any power, any authority, any jurisdiction, nothing we have. So it is just advisory capacity. So when he beats you up, you must go straight to the police station. That is one crime they take seriously. And you must remember that is GV, gender violence and so forth. So then they put him nicely in jail, and then when the panel beat him up there properly, then he'll come back, inshallah, you can withdraw the charges. So that is my advice to you, because it seems to be going on repeatedly according to the question. So your husband, he thinks that hukukullah, that's very good, reading 5 daily salat, tahajjud, crying, but he forgets hukukul ibad, remember the rights of the creation. Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, not once, not twice, but several times I heard him say this in Jalalabad and South Africa, that people think that, remember that, if their wife, if the people say he's a good person, but the wife and children say he's a bad person, then Allah ki yaha, by Almighty Allah, he's considered a bad person. By Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a bad person. Because the wife and children, they know what is in private life. In front of people, we become sanctimonious, we want to play pious, you know, play for the grandstand and all that. And if that person, the world says he's bad, but his wife and children say he's good, by Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, that person will be good as well, and my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So that is the barometer, the criteria Islam uses. But my advice to you, just go and lay a charge and let the police pick him up, and then you will see, dans al di popa dance, as we say in Afrikaans, that will fix him up properly.
We said I've got a student of deen before we go for an ad break, inshallah. She says, Mufti Saab, we just got married. It's only 3 months, Mufti Saab. What is the dua to keep my husband from a creeping eye? He says Allah has created woman beautiful, so he's just admiring Allah's beautiful creation. It's affecting my health. I don't know what to do, Ustad.
So you must remember that, you must ask him that if other men start admiring you and all that, then he will blow his gasket and everything. Then he won't speak, he's admiring Allah's creation and so forth. So all this are the waswasa, whisperings of shaitan. Almighty Allah addressed this issue separately in 2 different verses, Surah 24, Surah Nur. Therefore our mother, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur. Teach your female Surah Nur, chapter number 24. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an Amirul Mu'mineen wrote a letter to the people of Iraq and said the same words. Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur. Teach them Surah An-Nur. So our Ustad Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni has mentioned this in Rawayul Bayan, has mentioned this in his Tafsir and Tanwirul Azhar, and so forth and so on. So, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Surah 24, verse 30, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا Tell the believing man that they must lower their gazes وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ and protect the private part. Next verse, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ And tell the believing women, يَغْدُدُنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ They must lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ And they must protect their private parts. In Kanzul Ummal, my brother, that it is mentioned, when you start staring, you start ogling, and you start looking at this woman, that woman, so remember that that will be, that, you know, sahamun min sihami iblis, that this will be one of the poisonous arrows of Satan and Shaitan. Go read the history of pornography and so forth. Who introduced it? It was the Jutlas, the Jews. That was one reason why Hitler said that these people are causing too much harm and I need to teach them a lesson. one was interest, one was pornography, one was homosexuality. So all these things were introduced by them. So that is why Hitler said, and then he fixed them up. So you must remember, we don't agree with everything, obviously, but remember, we must know that where and where it leads to. So start ta'aleem, make dua, you married 3 months only, and already you're so disappointed and devastated, but Allah Jalla Wala is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful one to show mercy. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun, ya wadudu ya wadud, Allahumma hassin farji, ya Allah protect my private part. Like that you speak to Almighty Allah, then things will improve, inshallah Aziz.
21 minutes to 12 o'clock, we go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Well, it's exactly now 19 minutes to 12 o'clock. There's a listener saying, this is so true, dear Mufti Sahab. There's a family member that reads her 5 times Salah and all other nafil Salah. But she still has only money in dunya in her heart, head and speech. She decides what sunnah to follow when it comes to money and income, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That love for money, love for dunya, that every human being will have that. The problem is this, when we have so much love for it, that then we trample upon the Sharia, so that becomes a problem. Otherwise, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu was multi-millionaire. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, multi-millionaire. So remember, if the lady or the men are so rich and all that, so there's no problem in that. But that wealth must be earned in a halal way, and must be spent on halal, and they must not use that wealth. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that they cause mischief, mayhem on this earth. So that is what we should understand, and that is where we go wrong nowadays. Allah complains of me and you. Just juxtapose and compare the horses and their master. They are so loyal to their master. But me and you as human beings, chapter 100, verses 6, 7 and 8, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ, verily this human being, so for Almighty Allah, that meaning that we are so ungrateful, unthankful, that His bounties are ever recurring, showering upon us. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and we bear testimony to it. The more the wealth we get, the more rebellious we become in 90% of the time. And what is the cause for the ingratitude, unthankfulness? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, verily that this human being is intensely, madly in love with this wealth of his. So that is where the problem lies.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that can we name our children the same names as our parents, Ustad?
Yes, no problem with that. So you must remember, you have that in Sahaba, that the father's name, son's name are the same. So in some instances, so there's no problem in that. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the Sadistic, the hypocrites. His son is also Abdullah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously knew about it. Nobody objected, so there's dalil already. Father's name, son's name, the same. And sometimes they keep, remember, the children's name also the same. Abdullah, 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 Abdullah Awwal, Abdullah Sani, Abdullah Salis, like that. So the first Abdullah, second Abdullah, third Abdullah. So all that is fine. There's no problem with that.
This anonymous brother says, hope you are doing good by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear Mufti Sahab. I have committed a major sin. How do I tell my wife about it? Or should I just continue, Mufti Sahab? Who start? Anonymous.
Remember, my brother, the major sin you committed was adultery, a moment of weakness and madness. So you went to the prostitute, you went to the mere lady, or whatever it is. So you should understand, for adultery, the punishment is capital punishment, the death penalty. On that day, ijma, consensus among the four schools. Obviously, we can't carry out that type of punishment here by us. We don't have that authority. So if it is the first time, then you must have dhwik dua, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, make sincere dua. It's a major, major sin. The hadith Nabi alayhi salatu salam mentions, open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad, that when a person is engaged in that crime of fornication, adultery, the iman cannot tolerate it. It comes out of the person's heart. So you must remember that, like a canopy and so forth. So it don't mean the person is non-Muslim already, but he's on the verge of that. So it shows that what is a big crime and heinous crime it is and so forth. So remember that you cry to Almighty Allah and don't disclose to your wife and so forth. But if it's happening habitually, third time, fourth time, fifth time, then you have become, you're already khabis, you're already impure, and your wife is tayyibah, pure and chaste. So remember that, then you have to tell your wife that you have a big problem and so forth, before she comes to know about it. Because once she knows, even now, you must remember, if she comes to know, then she will have the right to request a talaq, a divorce, or she can go to the ulama and then say that this husband is khabis, is impure, and grounds of infidelity and so forth, that they must annul the marriage. So there are many, many things. And then your children, all that becomes an issue. But for the time being, the way you pose the question, that keep on begging Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness, a moment of weakness, a moment of madness, and remember Allah alone will protect us, and therefore we must be meticulous and particular with our five daily salat. Read it in the masjid for you, the men and the women at home on time. Inna salata tanaha anil fahshai wal munkar, that the salat is so effective. Beginning of the 21st Supara, 21st Juz, it will prevent you from all forms of obscenity and remember illicit relationship and so forth. Well, munkar and all forms of injustice. But that is the person who reads the Salat the way Salat supposed to be read. Today we know so many people, they read four rakats in 1 minute, 2 minutes. That is not Salat. That is just doing exercise up and down, kiss the ground, back to town. So we must read Salat, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Word of devotion, concentration, chapter 23, verse 2, the beginning of the 18th, use the 18th Supara.
I see the brother says, inshallah, nobody will ever move this up. It's 3 weeks already now. I do have a 6-month-old baby, so please move this up. I don't want anybody to know, Ustad.
I don't know you, so what you're asking me, that we don't know you, we don't know your wife, we don't know your family. So even if you know, we not go around and broadcast it and something. I'm just giving you advice, because you are the one who asked the question. And when you speak to Almighty Allah, say, read these two words. Ya Sattaru, Ya Sattaru, Ya Sattar. Ya Allah, you are the best one to conceal my vices, my sins, our vices, our sins. So cry to Allah. Ya Allah, make Sattari and cover all these crimes I committed. And say, Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffar. Ya Allah, you are the all-forgiving, very, very forgiving. Forgive me for my transgression and so forth and so on. So inshallah, if you are sincere, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. Ameen. And Allah Ta'ala will cover and conceal your vices and all our sins as well. We all are guilty, but remember the sins we commit are of a different type. Allah Jalla Wala protect us all times, all places, all circumstances.
I see Bar saying here, but what is wrong with these youngsters, Mufti Sahab? He knows he's got a 6-month-old baby. Why should he do such an act? Bah, Ustad.
The problem is day and night they're watching TV, day and night they're busy with their mobile. So one you keep on seeing, and today the Western satanic culture is the vices. You must remember what they do. They glorify it. take Bojo. You know Bojo? Before Richie Rich, it was him. So you must remember that Bojo, while she was prime minister, he, according to them, he slept with 5 different women. Some of them impregnated them also, I think. So you must remember this, but he slept with this. For them is nothing. It's considered, you must remember, 2 consenting adults. So you just go for a fling. They call it a fling. So remember this. So now our people see this, but this is the prime minister. See, he's busy like that. So let me go and park also. Park in the parking, park in the loading zone. And now today it's gone worse. They don't know where's the entry and where's the exit also. So they just park Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve. So all shaitaniyat, all this is punishable by death, adultery, homosexuality, all these type of things there. But the biggest problem, that what comes, that the whole day you are bombarded with these vices, and now human nature is such that we succumb to them. Let me also try it. Allah forbid. And when he tries it, that chingari, that spark of iman is there. So now that afsos, that regret, what I went to go do, for 1 minute, 5 minutes, or half an hour's pleasure, I destroyed my whole family, my wife, my child, my children, whatever it is. So this is the ploy and the plan of shaitan, and our nafs, our own ego, our own whims, fancies, desires also are guilty. So we can't blame other people. He himself is guilty. Therefore, the death penalty will apply, as I mentioned.
Maaf, Ustad, is it allowed to tell a guy when he comes for Isa Musaran that you don't want to marry someone who wants to marry many more than one wife, knowing it's a sunnah, Ustad?
So you must remember this, according to Islamic jurisprudence, that if you tell that future husband, that suitor, who we can say is a shooter, so you must remember that if you marry him, then you want the condition must be stipulated in the nikah document, that whilst he is married to you, then he will not be allowed to marry anybody else. And if he marries, then they automatically, one talaq ba'in will take place, or tafwizu talaq will take place, that you will have the right to divorce yourself and so forth. So all that can be done. But the proviso condition is both parties must reach an amicable agreement. You both agree on that. You'll sign on it. There's witnesses. So then there is no problem in future. Dalil evidence for that. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he married, you must remember, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And after some time, you must remember, then he wanted to propose for Jamila. Who is Jamila? Jamila is the daughter of Abu Jahl. Now, if you know the chronological order, the sequence of events, you must remember the Battle of Badr took place, second year of Hijrah, and it's Ramadan, and the battle finished. After that, in the same Ramadan, you must remember what happened was that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an married Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So when the marriage took place, Abu Jahl was already dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire. So when Sayyida Fatima came to know, she was very, very upset. And Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Ali, لا تجتمعوا بنت عدو الله وبنت نبي الله. It can't happen that the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the daughter of the enemy of Allah, both of them are at the same time by you in nikah. She's Muslim, the daughter of Abu Jahl. So from there you say that if the husband and the wife reach a mutual agreement, so remember, and he agrees, then fine, you can include that in your nikah. So remember that the condition, and it will be binding upon him to comply with it, because both parties agreed, you got witnesses, you signed, and so forth.
Somebody says, Mufti Sahib, I just got an anxiety attack. I just saw my sister's phone where she's busy chatting to my husband and exchanging pictures to each other. I'm trying to call Mufti Saab. Please answer. It's urgent. We're coming to see you now. Urgent. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
No, you can't come now. And we're not running a hotel here or something. You come whenever you feel like and so forth. So you got anxiety attack. You got this attack. We make dua for you. Read La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. That, Ya Allah, that you are the one. There's no one worthy of worship but you. Everlasting glory, perfection is for you. And I am the one that is the wrongdoer. So keep on reading that and give out some charity. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will grant you Shifa'i Kamil.
Somebody says, Ustaz, a few family members are in Parda and read five times Salah. But they are very quick to judge people by speaking of their wrongs, even to it's the truth. Please advise, is this right or wrong, Ustaz?
Remember this, if a person is reading five daily Salat and so forth, and he sees other people, maybe they're not reading five daily Salat, that doesn't mean that they must consider themselves to be pious and reserved for Jannah and Paradise, and that person there who's not reading every day five daily Salat, they condemn them to hell already. Maybe that person dies with Iman and he has a good ending, and we, Allah forbid, Allah knows what will happen to us. But remember, Amar bin Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar must continue. This is a big mistake the Ummah makes, that every Muslim is given two responsibilities regarding this issue. One is, we use this Salat as example, and it goes across the board. So I have to read my five daily Salat, that's minimum. Other Salat I read, so that will be voluntary, whether it's Tahajjud, or Abid, Ishraq, or whatever else, or Salat to Duha, Chast, and so forth. But remember, you also have to read your five daily Salat, so that is compulsory. But now, if a person is not reading his five daily Salat, now somebody tells him, then he can't come say that, no, you got this wrong, you got this wrong. That person is commanding you the good, forbidding you the evil. He's got all the right as a Muslim to do that. It's our pride and arrogance, we don't want to accept it. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, batarul haq. Then what is the definition of pride? That we don't want to accept the truth. Well, come to Nas, and we look down upon the people who tell us that, who are you to come and tell me? So therefore, today the famous one is not your business. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went is to tell him that, no, you don't worry, is to read this ayat, that you must remember, that you must fear Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, ittaqillah, because this is part of taqwa. We must do the actions of ourselves, and we must command the good and forbid the evil. And akhadathu al-izzatu bil-ismi fahasbuhu jahannam. So the pride of that person there has got a hold of him, therefore he don't want to accept it, and then he, the person who is being rectified, then they must remember, he says, you don't worry, it's not your business. Allah Ta'ala then dispatches him to Jahannam and the hellfire. This is the grand mufti of Sahaba explaining to us.
So, sir, can one use enhancement pills for conjugal rights if one has a problem with
that? No, remember, all that not permissible. Remember this, that they want to use this, they want to use that. They in Tanzania and all that, they use some tablets made from India. So how many of the children or people died and so forth? So remember these things here. You think they're going to enhance your performance and all. You go ask the good doctors and they'll tell you in the long term, it all causes more problems for you and so forth. So use the natural things that mashallah Allah gave us. Use dates, use badam, almond, use zamzam water and honey and all that, and inshallah, it's like, people want to use toys and all that for their wives, and all haram, all that. Again, if you go to the main reason, is all the adult movies, pornography, all these haram things they see, and now what you see, you want to experiment and implement. So that is where we are. Barakallahu feek, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.